Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Best red zone passers in football for a long time. To the ground here. Gainwell is in for the Pittsburgh touchdown.
You know, forget my perception of it. We're 3-1. And that's all that matters. You know, would I like to be 4-0? Certainly. But we are what we are. I've learned not to, you know, kid myself. You are what your record says you are, and so that's where we are going into the bye, and I can take it.
Fan weather in Pittsburgh today, a little overcast. It will be on the warmer side, highs in the high 70s, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We're 3-1 in Chris Muller's personal scorebook. The Steelers are 1-3 because the last two wins have felt like losses. Malzi has come in here today and crucified Tomlin for the final 4.5 minutes of this game, for Tomlin butchering the game management of things. And we have solicited and taken your calls on that and engaged your reaction at 412-937-0. I tend to think in a win...
928-937-0.
Thank you. I tend to think in a win, when Tomlin was brilliant for pretty much the first 55 minutes of this game and you win, that still overshadows some of the mistakes that he allegedly made at the end of the game. One of the mistakes that we're killing him for, you're killing him for, I should say, actually worked, because they punted and they got an interception to seal it. So he put the game in the hands of the defense because he trusted the defense. The defense came through and did indeed win the game for him. One of your favorites, Malzi, who agrees with you on this, is Alex Cazora. Steelers film critic on social media.
Was he Roger Ebert?
Pretty much.
Gene Siskel of Steelers film. No, I think Alex does a very good job.
He labeled Mike Tomlin a loser.
Like, did he do a winners and losers bit?
Yes, he called Tomlin a loser.
Because just saying, you know, this guy is a real loser broadly and not in the context of a winners and losers breakdown would be a little harsh.
Not a winner for the great offensive game plan. Not a winner for his defense, wreaking havoc, causing Carson Wentz to throw two interceptions, sacking him six times. It's the fourth quarter and the Vikings, with an offensive genius, are stuck on 6 points. The Vikings, after the Steelers have had trouble stopping the run in two games and a little bit of the third game because of Drake May's mobility, pretty much shut down the Vikings' run game in this one. All things that I think should get ascribed to the head coach when they work. And yet, he's a loser in this game because of his decision to punt on fourth down, and also the decision they made down near the goal line, not only to go for it, but the play they chose when they went for it. A loser that undid everything and then some that Tomlin did to put his team in position to win a game that most Steelers fans, with the exception of Donnie Football and his clairvoyance, thought that the Steelers were going to lose yesterday.
I feel like I'm in good company. I also discovered in searching up for what Alex wrote that he's got like 6 different people who have made burner accounts or fake accounts of him on Twitter, which is
a flex.
Yeah, it's an impressive flex. I think you at your peak only have like 4 or 5.
Man. I got to get my fastball back, apparently. If people don't want to pretend to be
me
anymore,
there's going to be maybe there's going to be some popping up of me today now that I've taken the usual pony stance in this game.
I've got Chris Mack making fun of intern Dom, and I'm catching strays in the whole thing today.
Well, that's nice.
Man, just sucks to be me, I guess.
Isn't that Penn State fan on Penn State fan crime there? Because isn't intern Dom a Penn State fan?
He is, and he has said things like James Franklin should be fired, and James Franklin will be better off as an NFL head coach than a college coach. And that has gotten him into the Mac crosshairs.
Interesting. I think Alex is right. I obviously do.
Obviously, that's what you started the show with.
And I don't know, man. Like, I would love, the most encouraging thing for me would almost just be to see that Mike Tomlin is going to make smart percentage plays and not always be dissuaded by, like, the result of the play. Just, like, the idea you've had this incredible game rushing the football.
Mm-hmm.
So good that Vikings defenders, I'm sure you saw this, had to come out and say that the Steelers had a good game plan to like take them out of out of the game, kind of. We've been citing. You have
You're
this
not
stuff.
Really citing it. You're saying it and then crushing him for the things that happen at the end of the game.
But why would you not, on 4th and 18 inches, go for it? Because I can also make the other argument people like to put out there in this situation. If you ultimately punted because you trust your defense, then go for it. That shows even more trust in your defense because it allows for the fact that you might get stopped, then your defense really has to bow its back.
I just need to revisit what you said earlier. If they go for it on fourth down there, get stuffed, Vikings get the ball, short field, kick a field goal, go to overtime, Vikings win.
Yes.
You'd feel better about Tomlin losing the game that way than having won it the way that they did.
I would feel better that he had made the correct process choice. And I can much easier say
who's saying it's the right process? You as the arbiter of what good process and bad process is in a football game?
I don't know.
Game?
There are numerous mathematical bots whose literal like purpose on this planet, they were created to use things like win probability added to determine whether a team should go for it. You've heard of Ben Baldwin's bot.
Oh, Benny Baldwin. Related to Alec.
Ben Bot Baldwin.
James Baldwin.
Yes, he has. No, Alec and James Baldwin, very different. Well,
James
families.
Baldwin, the White Sox pitcher?
No, I was talking about James Baldwin, the
the writer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think James Baldwin, the pitcher, not related to Alec Baldwin, the actor either, but that's neither here nor there. He does his fourth down decision bot. It just crunches the numbers.
Sure.
4th and 1 from the Minnesota 40, 108 to go. Recommendation. Very strong.
Go for it. Yeah.
9.3 win probability added. If you go for it and you succeed in getting it, you win 100% of the time. If you fail to get it, you still win 67% of the time. Here's the funniest part. Punting was the third best decision, it looks like, because they couldn't even come up with what your probabilities are if you punt the ball.
Because they're claiming no one punts in that situation.
Field goal attempt, they thought, was probably a similarly, like, potential successful play.
Because then you have to go get a touchdown. I did not think about Boswell. Maybe I should have.
My point is, I was scanning through his that timeline of that account because I like to see it. The New York Times has a separate one that's probably similarly based.
Yep.
I'm willing to bet that that was the strongest go for it decision. Like the math supported it of any like up in the air decision this weekend, and Mike punted. And I am just not going to give him flowers for his defense managing to hold on after he made the wrong decision.
But you've also ripped him for doing a percentage play today. So you are just very difficult to please. He goes forward on 4th and 3.
I ripped him for the specific play call when he made the right percentage
play. Malzy, go look at what these brainiacs say about that. Their big thing is you, in the red zone, running on short yardage is a better percentage play than passing in short yardage. All of the data backs that up. Go look up your Aaron shots and your
media
times.
Are you talking about like specifically a goal line fade, for example?
No, just what results in touchdowns more? Successful plays in that situation.
I'd rather have the ball in the air myself.
Well, yes, but that's not based on the percentages. That's just based on old Chris Muller's gut.
Did those same people that say it's a better percentage play to run it from there like the play call? Did any of them sound off?
I don't know.
Shots out there?
I don't
just
know, Chris, but when you're running the ball with Kenneth Gainwell at will there, I can't see why they wouldn't have liked that call in that situation.
To me... The math can say what it wants there, and I recognize
that's what you're
the
picking.
Rank hypocrisy.
You're picking math over wins here. You said, give me the percentage play by the coach, and if it backfires, who cares, because the math was good.
Then I guess, you know what? If I'm going to be Mr. Math Steady here, great job running the ball. They could have gotten an extra yard, and it would have been fine.
Donnie, do you agree with Chris? You'd rather have Tomlin go for it, and even if it blows up in his face, at least he shows you that he knows math and he knows percentages?
I'd rather them win, and that's what they did. I think that he and Artie Smith coach circles around the two coaches that we praised all week.
And
Mosey
said bad game from Tomlin.
No, I'm not going to get there. I mean, we have a lot we can jump on Mike Tomlin about. I'm not going to be upset over the last few minutes of the game because he didn't play the percentage points the right way. He had a good – his defense that we will get on him for when they play poorly, they were flying around. And Artie Smith, his offense was better than the Brian Flores defense.
Do you have umbrage with any decisions he made late in the game?
Yeah, I mean, do I think it was perfect? No. I mean, I thought the play where they punted, they should have gone for it there.
Yep.
They just took the penalty because they wanted to give Corliss Waitman more room, and he just booted it out of the end zone anyway.
Your landlord, Donnie, thinks that that punt was so unusually bad. His theory, he messaged me this, is that Waitman was told to punt it out of the end zone or into the end zone like that for reasons nobody can figure out other than what maybe like...
Afraid that a return is going to go to the house or something like that?
Hold on.
It netted him 19 yards.
But let me ask this, because that was what I thought.
Trust your defense more than your special teams there?
What percentage of punts for like when you're in a coffin corner situation even get returned? By the time the punt coverage team gets down there, they're usually just standing next to the return man.
I mean, we didn't see two punts for touchdowns yesterday. I don't know exactly where all those plays started
from. I would be willing to bet the number of punt return touchdowns that emanate from a punt that starts in plus territory is virtually none.
But Donnie, my take on that is he trusted his defense, and the defense came through for him. So how can I rip him for that?
No, I mean, like,
you know,
that,
in the
that
end,
part
he was
is
right.
Correct. That's really one of the only things, though, I have a gripe with.
But I can't even have a big gripe with it because it worked for
him. But I think your main reason...
You know what I mean?
The main reason you don't have gripes is because you respect the two other coaches so much.
That's a big part of it, but...
And they're a whopping 2-2 on the year and got smoked by the Atlanta Falcons.
Let me make a baseball analogy for a second, just to see how far you're willing to take things. If the right call, percentage-wise, is to hit a certain guy because he's got a better career on OPS and better career numbers against a specific pitcher or a specific type of pitcher, lefty versus righty... And instead of going with that guy, a manager has a hunch and goes with somebody else with worse numbers. And that guy comes through with a big hit to win the game. Do you then rip the manager because he didn't do the percentage right thing?
I say this exact thing. Tip of the cap to him here. He went with his gut and got it right. But the math says he would have gotten it wrong more often than not. I'm just not going to give guys credit for bad process that yields good results. And this was like the literal... dictionary definition of bad process, good results.
Leslie's on the fan. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Leslie.
Leslie, you sound like you're in a good mood. That doesn't sound like someone who hates Mike Tomlin this afternoon.
I'm definitely hashtag Team Tomlin. I called to disagree with Chris wholeheartedly. I was prepared to yell at Pony today, and you guys completely...
Wait, why were you prepared to yell at Pony? Did you assume he would have my take and I would have his?
No, because Pony, like, I blame him for dragging you to the dark side. Like, I think that, yeah, I guess I do, but, like, he came back on that. Like, Pony took it back, and he literally was able to admit he was wrong. But why you're still clinging to this, Chris, I just don't understand. Mike Tomlin completely outcoached Brian Flores in the precious Vikings or whatever. Like,
exactly. And he admits that to some degree, but then he says it was still a bad game.
Leslie, he outcoached O'Connell for sure, and outcoached Flores by helping Arthur Smith devise a game plan that the Vikings defenders had to admit was not a good fit for what they wanted to do.
Yep.
But I must say, I am going to be left more with the memory of the bad 5 or 6 minutes because they were so bad situationally that they almost undid the first 54. That just means like if he got an A minus for the first 54. He gets an F minus for the last six.
Wow. And Malzi says, bad job. How about you? 412-928-9370. Mike Tomlin called by one Steelers guru a loser for his performance against the Vikings.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's 24-14. We're on the 3-yard line. We score. It's a 3-score game. We make the extra point. 17-point lead. Game's over. You know, we don't get it. They got to go 60 yards to get a in range for a field goal. They're 2 scores down. We kick a field goal there. It's 27-14. Sorry. Yeah, it is 27-14. We kick the ball off. You get the ball on the 35. It's kind of in the average start position around the NFL. They got to go 65 yards to score. To me, it was worth it to try and end the game right there.
All right, so I think if we're being fair about things from this game, and Malzi's over-the-top criticism of Mike Tomlin today.
Not over-the-top. It's rational and
I
reason.
Think you got to drag Aaron Rodgers into it. Because on that fourth down play, not the one where they ultimately punted, but the one where they got stopped right before the great Peyton Wilson play on Jordan Addison. I think Aaron Rodgers talked Tomlin out of the field goal. So Aaron Rodgers has to take some culpability there.
He doesn't have to take culpability for anything. He talked Mike into the correct decision.
But then you crush Mike for the play call.
Well, yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers just went kicking and screaming into a run play?
What he probably
Why
should
Why wouldn't
have,
he want the ball in his hands?
What he probably should have done was what he did like 4 or 5 times prior to that in the game when there was an obvious called run and he would just hit Metcalf on a quick in route.
Okay. So I mean that's got to be part on Rodgers. If he's got the leeway and the license to do that.
Yes, I wish he would have gone all the way and basically completely been insubordinate.
That's not I mean, I'm of the belief that he had to like the call.
He's got to go. I'll say this much. I mean, I guess to agree with you grudgingly as you misrepresent my points today. And
I didn't misrepresent anything.
You said I was over the top in my criticism, which
that
is
was
a
my
opinion
on what you said. Yes, well, I'm allowed to give my opinion on the show.
It's a gross misrepresentation of the degree of my over the topness. But
you said he had a bad game. That's over the top.
No, it's not. He is culpable. Rodgers is. It's a guy of his experience level in this way. I would imagine if he's got the juice to pressure Mike Tomlin into making what ended up being the correct mathematical choice.
Are you sure about that, by the way?
He's got the juice, I would say, just for argument's sake. He's got the juice to see that he either likes or doesn't like the pre-snap look and make a call accordingly.
Are you sure the bots, as you like to call them, liked
the Ben Baldwin,
going for it
the Ben,
on fourth down over field goal there?
The Ben Baldwin bot did not have that play in there, which is
can you
perplexing.
Find a bot and give it the situation and see if it picks go for it or field goal? If you give it time in the game, score, and then
I will
the play.
I will try.
Let's get some.
How automated? How good is the bot if the bot doesn't evaluate every damn fourth down?
Will is on the fan. Hello, Will.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey man.
So before I touch on Tomlin, I feel like a lot of credit needs to go to Rodgers. I just feel that, you know, all talk last week was how good the Flores defense was and how many things he throws at them. And I saw multiple times yesterday that he just kind of undressed them time and time again, taking the play clock down to 2 or 1 and eventually getting the right play in. I just think there's not a whole lot of guys that I would have wanted to go into that game with other than him.
Well, he had looked so bad against that defense last year. And I think when they came in with this sixth offensive lineman in Darnell Washington as the primary tight end, and it's like, we're going to put huge people on the field and attempt the running to run the ball, that threw Minnesota a loop because they had not seen that on tape and they hadn't prepared or practiced for it all week, Will.
I also think throwing Calvin Anderson in there was very smart, also adding extra offensive linemen other than Darnell Washington. But I want to touch on the two fourth down calls. The fourth and goal from the three, I agree with the decision. However, I have to go with Chris on this one. I don't agree with the play call. I know that they've been running the ball well all game. I don't agree with that. I feel like that was also Tomlin living in his fears, in a sense, to where it's the conservative call rather than trying to put the ball in the air. And then on the fourth and short that they ultimately punted on, I have mixed emotions about that because, yes, they put the game away. However, I also remember who's on the other sideline quarterbacking the Vikings. And so I feel like that there was a sense where Tomlin knew that Wentz was not that kind of guy that could go down and have a game-winning drive or game-winning field goal. Also, one more thing, Molesy, if you like Twitter pages that have those type of fourth down percentages, Computer Cowboy is a good one.
Oh, that's the one we're talking about. That's the one we're talking about. We know that one.
Living in his fears is kicking a field goal there. Right? Living in his fears.
No, he didn't. I never said he lived in his fears on that play decision to go for it. I said that was the opposite of living in your fears. That's being aggressive.
But Will just said the run game is living in your fears. No, it's not. Living in your fears is kicking the field goal.
There's levels of living in your fears. The biggest live in your fears is kick.
Okay.
The second biggest live in your fears is go for it, but not want to put the ball in the air because you kind of do the old Woody Hayes, you know, three things can happen and two of them are bad when the ball's in the air. The ultimate there is trust your Hall of Fame to be quarterback to make a play.
I think each game is unique. And if they had failed to run the ball again and just decided on fourth down to hand the ball off and it's like almost a give up play, then yeah, I'd have a problem with it. But Gainwell had already scored two touchdowns down there. So I'm just flummoxed by how many people have a problem giving the ball to someone who had been effective and successful at doing that all game. Here is Aaron in Uniontown. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. Man.
So I called in last week after the Patriots game, and even though they won, I still poo-pooed Mike Tomlin saying, yeah, you know, I had no confidence moving forward. But I'm going to do something that I don't think I've ever done, and I'm going to give Mike Tomlin credit. His defense came out to play and saw a lot more blitzing, Jalen Ramsey coming in on a couple of blitzes. I liked the decision to go for it on the goal line, but like Molesy said, I wasn't a big fan of the play call because it seemed overly predictable. And when you got a guy like Washington who's 400 feet tall, you know, I want to see them get him more involved in the offense. It didn't seem like they targeted the tight ends too much yesterday.
They don't target Freiermuth at all, which is becoming more and more of a story. Like, at least they had a couple, like a dump off.
I still don't know
Washington.
What the hell Freiermuth is doing on that field goal play. What was he doing there?
What took, like, we've seen this defense kind of play the same way for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years. Yesterday it seemed like it was a different team. So in your guys' opinion, what changed? Was it the team that they were playing? Did Mike Tomlin come to some realization that his defensive scheme got kind of stale? What, in your opinion, what was it that changed yesterday?
I think that the Vikings being down three offensive linemen by the middle of the game, starting offensive linemen, was a massive story here. But I started the show by saying, I'm not going to dock the Steelers points. If you have a very expensive, talented defense and the other team is losing players to attrition,
yeah,
you should whoop their asses, and the Steelers defensive front did exactly that.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Chris Muller's big thesis point from the Steelers' win against the Vikings is Mike Tomlin had a bad game because of how he managed the game and the clock and the decision-making late, undoing all the good that Mike Tomlin did for the first 55 minutes of the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
3:30, excuse me, means it's time for Donnie to give out his big balls, his game balls from the Steelers' 24-21 win over the Vikings over in Dublin. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. And football talk with the football guy. I'm the fan. Presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Yesterday, that included watching the Ravens get run over by the Kansas City Chiefs in a 37-20 loss. And Xavier Worthy making his presence known, and Lamar Jackson throwing up on himself at various points in that game. All right, Donnie, I think this is another three-ball Steelers game.
Oh, yeah, they got them all, yeah. The Steelers swept this one. I had to put like four or five guys in the also receiving votes category because it was a pretty game all around.
All right, give me game ball recipient number three. This is like a bronze medal.
Peyton Wilson.
That was mine! Let's go!
Two tackles for loss. He was able to hit the quarterback a time or two. 13 tackles, which I know for a linebacker, that's just mostly like a counting stat, whatever. But it cannot go. You can't go without saying enough the play that he made. That was Chris's play of the game. I mean, that is one of the best hustle plays I have seen a Steeler make. The play that I thought of, it was Vance McDonald back in 2017. Do you remember
against
they played
Bears.
The Bears?
Yep. And who ran was the dude showboating it, thinking he was completely alone, and he knocked it right out of his hands.
Right. I don't remember the player. They ended up losing the game, so it ultimately didn't matter.
Yeah, a lot happened that day in Chicago.
But
yes, it did.
The hustle that he had on the play, that's what it reminded
honestly,
me of.
Honestly,
I mean, you just don't see a play like that all that often, and we saw a guy catch up to a former Biletnikoff wide receiver when he had, what, a 20-yard head start? I know he had to wait for the football, but still.
Wilson had the advantage of the head start, but he hit 22.42 miles an hour. Is it the best chase down play like that by a guy currently even on the Steelers, or do we put Metcalf on Buda Baker as
no,
even
I think
more
this
impressive?
One takes the cake now.
I think given I do
Buda's
think,
a safety, so in theory he should be a little slower than a pretty top end wide
right,
receiver.
Right, and like I do think given that the position differential there plays a factor. Like, this was a linebacker chasing down a wide receiver, not a wide receiver chasing down a safety.
What do you think's the fastest both of you have run if you were clocked at miles an hour in your life? Peyton Wilson hit 22.42 miles an hour. Do either of you think you've even sniffed 18?
I think based on the stuff I'm doing at the gym, I think I could probably do between 10 and 15. No?
Well, no, hold on. If you've ever gotten on a treadmill,
yeah,
set it to 15, like the highest speed it can go, and mm-hmm. successfully run on it, then you have run 15 miles an hour, because that's how that's done.
I think I can do that.
You think you've run 17 miles an hour in your day, Don?
No, I doubt it.
Donnie, game ball number two.
DK Metcalf.
You and me are on the same page so far.
I know that a lot of his game came in the first half, really in the first quarter and a half of the game, but We're also starting to see this connection warm up a little bit, really heat up. That's three straight games with a touchdown between Rodgers and Metcalf. He only had, I think, five last season. His other numbers are not that far off the pace that they were at last season. 5 for 126, and that was just a vintage play that you expect to see out of that player, the 80-yard catch and run.
Here's Tomlin on DK.
I think getting him the ball is always our agenda. Sometimes it's controlled by other things. In previous weeks, we weren't getting off the way we would like on third down, so it minimizes offensive possessions. We weren't winning possession downs, and so, you know, these are not These are complex discussions. They're not. They don't happen in a vacuum. We didn't go get DK not to get him the ball. And so today was a reflection of our intentions, but that's been our intentions every week.
And they put big people on the field, and that forced Minnesota to use bigger people. And so that made it easier as far as guys that were allocated to defend DK Metcalf, as in not getting double teamed, and slower guys to try to catch him when he catches the ball short and is moving at a cheetah-like pace down the sideline to score a very long touchdown. Donnie, I wrote it down. I have a feeling you and me are going to have the three same game ball recipients. Number one.
Do you have your saxophone handy for a little Kenny G?
Sure do.
How about this guy?
That sounds just like a saxophone.
Call up that guy that sits outside of the stadium and just has a speaker play the music anyway.
That guy.
That guy's a jackass.
That guy's a total douchebag.
And then call you out if you don't pay him.
Oh,
buddy,
man.
What would he do if you threw him like $5 and said, I'll pay you to stop playing? Just sit there.
How many people
and don't
do you think
play.
Have said that before? I bet the number's greater than zero.
I mean, it feels like a hostage situation with everyone that walks by. Yeah. I'm going to keep playing and yelling at you if you don't throw me money.
I'm not a fan at all of that dude.
Isn't the whole point of like busking in a public place that you play good music and then people are like, oh, this is nice. Like on a New York City subway, yeah. If you're talented, you get a guitar out and you play some fun sounding songs. This guy's business model is I'm a jerk. And I'm going to play the saxophone.
I'm
going to
bully you into giving me money, even though I have a speaker playing the song anyway.
This is low-grade extortion.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. get out on the Ocean City boardwalk or something if you want
to. I think Gainwell has an argument to be their starting running back against the Browns. And I like Jaylen Warren a lot, but they haven't run the ball like this in forever.
I thought he made some really good like reads of blocks and got more out of a lot of these runs. He fell forward every time.
And I agree with what Roger said. You know, it's always been in limited roles, which was the same thing that Warren has fought against, having to back up Najee. Maybe this is just a guy that was sitting behind Saquon Barkley. I mean, how do you just put that guy back on the bench after a game like this?
I don't think you can. Like, okay. I mean, I feel like I'm fine with those guys splitting.
So that's the thing, though. I think you'd almost have to split it with him getting the majority, but to Pony's point, it sounds easy to say you can't put the guy back on the bench. He was great. But there's always like a question for me about diminishing returns. Let me put it this way. We've seen guys who never were feature backs have like random elite games. The famous Jalen Samuels game where they were running toss pitches because he was more of a receiving back.
I think it's unfair to Gainwell, though, to put him in the Jalen Samuels category.
Listen, he's a better player, and he's a better player than this guy I'm going to mention. Jonathan Dwyer, who ran wild a couple of times. He's a Super Bowl champ. Like, he's a guy with veteran pedigree, knows what he's doing out there. Is he big enough to take the beating that a feature back would
take? I don't
think
Warren necessarily is.
Jalen Warren's built like a roll.
Gets hurt a lot, Chris. He gets dinged up a lot.
Donnie, no response for that one from me. The truth hurts.
I also think that they had a better game plan when it came to running the football.
They absolutely did.
So it wasn't like they didn't allow the Jalen Warren injury to take them away from that either, which I credit them for. That's something else I think that the coaching deserves credit for, because when that news came out, I thought hard about changing
your pick,
my pick of the game, because Warren is somebody they, you know, not that he's run the ball great, but they count on him a lot in the pass down situations.
But
they played Darnell Washington for what, 85% of the snaps?
Yep.
They played
the nipple rubber
Spencer Anderson for like 20 snaps. They made it a point to run the football, and it actually worked.
God, did you see Spencer Anderson, one of those plays? They catch him on the camera. He is just rubbing that chest like it's borderline erotic on his part. He's making sure they know he's the nipple
rubber.
Here's
Tomlin on Kenny G.
I tell you, man, Kenny's always ready for whatever we ask him to do. And so, no, I would not be surprised by that. He's just a top-notch competitor, and I'm glad he's with us.
So there you have it, the game balls. Peyton Wilson, 3. DK Metcalf, 2. Kenny Gainwell, 1.
Would you guys say, as BLV did on YouTube, that Kenny G simply never got a chance before to get into a groove? Come on, that's a pretty good one. That's like a subtle, I like that's like subtle dad humor.
That's a good
right
one.
There.
Here
didn't
is,
over, didn't overdo it.
Here's one of the queens of the PM team, Carolyn Clinton. Hello, Carol.
Hello, guys. My take is completely selfish because I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to the game on the radio upstairs. My husband's watching it on TV downstairs, and I'm screaming at him, can't we ever just have an easy game where we just win and don't have to go through all this crap? And then I'm screaming down to him, can't we make one yard on that third down? Why did we have to go through all that?
Carol, I feel very similar to you right now. I do. Why can't it ever just be easy for them? Now, the truth of the matter is that most games in the NFL end up being one possession games, so it's not like the Steelers are alone in this.
Once in a while, once in a blue moon.
They never do, for example, Carol, and this team came into the game with a worse record than the Steelers and a lot of problems yesterday. They hardly ever do what the Chiefs did yesterday, which is blow out a good opponent.
Right.
You're right, Carol. I'm with you today.
Just take the bull by the horn and, you know, the old blind.
Take that bull and just... Take that bull and just throw it around like you own
all right,
the place.
So bottom line, Carol, do you think Mike Tomlin did a good job or bad job yesterday?
I hate him because of what he put me through.
Thank you, Carol.
She said it was a selfish opinion, and she delivered a selfish opinion, and I respect her for it.
I'm not a fan of Tomlin's, but I think I am an honest broker, and when it's and fair is fair. His offensive game plan was very good.
How much do you give him credit for that versus Smith? That's like
not a lot
accusatory question.
Because I think that Tomlin sets the agenda for the offense too. I don't think he's like in the lab like coming up with all the plays, but I think
sets a tone
for this is the type of offense I want to see us run in this game.
Is it any coincidence that whether people picked the Steelers pregame or not, one of the narratives going in was they were going to treat this like the Super Bowl because of how bad they wanted to win it for Dan Rooney. Is it any coincidence then?
Well,
that their offensive game plan was ground and
pound. No, I don't think it is, but it's one thing to just come out and say, that's what we're going to do, establish the run. They made personnel changes to make the run game better. They didn't just line up and say they were going to do it better.
I'll give them credit.
They did it differently for once.
And I'll give him credit. He put Biggs out there, and he put a back in who could see.
But you're really not giving him any credit because you're still saying he sucked at his job yesterday.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it was a bad day. By the way, Seth Walter from ESPN, I had to go digging for this. You asked me about the 4th-and-3. Was it the correct play? He said, in his words, our model has this as a one-option decision. It is clear as day that you go for the touchdown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.